Covenant Presbyterian Church. There are two items on the called agenda: to elect ruling elders to session and to deacons, and deacons to the board of deacons, and to receive this mission study report. According to our Constitution, the only business that can be transacted at a special meeting of the congregation shall be limited to the items specifically listed in the call to the meeting. All active members of the congregation who are present are entitled to vote. A quorum is 10% of our active membership, so if we have 20.3 people here who are members, we are good. It can't be me. I was about to say me, but it can't be. Anyway, for the purposes of any meeting of the congregation, the moderator of session shall moderate the meeting. The secretary of the meeting shall be the clerk of session. According to our Constitution, we need to give 2 Sundays notice, and we have done that. And we are ready for the business of the meeting. First of all, I need to tell you that our standing nominating committee has been working very hard for very many weeks to get us to the point where we can elect new elders and deacons. And in turn, I'm going to ask the standing nominating committee to pray, I mean to stand, so that we may applaud them and then pray over them. The members of the standing nominating committee are: Alan Schwab is clerk of session, who is chairperson of the standing nominating committee. Allison Sack, Marlene Lefevre, Sherry George, where'd she go? And then Rick Lean. So first of all, thank you for all your hard work. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the standing nominating committee, and as we'll see in the mission study report, their job is just beginning for us. And we thank you that they've come to this point and given us such good folks to be elected this day. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Brooklyn. For election to session, come before you for the class of 2020, Cody Hansen and Allison Sack. Those are the only nominations brought before you. Are there any nominations from the floor for session? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion that nomination cease and a unanimous ballot be cast. Any discussion? Second. Thank you, Ralph. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. On session, they are joining Marlene and Alan, John Bystroff, Carla McKechnie, Sid Huff, Mark Rothy, and Larry Schott. For election to the Board of Deacons, class of 2019, for the class of 2019, for a one-year term, I bring you Kyra Liberto. For the class of 2018, I bring before you Kate Gosling and Gail Schmerzma. Thank you. And for the class of 2020, I bring Linda Bennett, Bev Carrington, Grant Dewey, Bruce Hansen. Let me do that again. For the class of 2018. Oh, yeah, I meant to. I thought you were telling me to stand up, and I said, I am standing. For the class of 2018, Kate Gosling. And Gail, oh, there she is. Hi, Gail. I didn't see you. Class of 2019, Kyra. And that is a one-year term. For the class of 2020, Linda Bennett, Bev Carrington, Grant Dewey. Aaron, I don't see your dad, do I? Okay. And where am I at? And Bruce Hansen. Thank you, Bruce. Are there any nominations from the floor? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion that nominations cease and a unanimous ballot be cast for these people. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Yes, thank you. And on our wonderful board of deacons, and we'll hear more about them in just a minute, on our wonderful board of deacons, they will be joining Jeff Barnes and Deb Leifer, who is our chair, Cherry George, Brian Milbourne, and Mark Hoffman. So now we come to the presentation of our mission study. This process began just after the new year. We have a team of 11 people who joined me to do this, and I'm going to ask them to stand, and we will applaud and pray over them as well. Colin Duran, Jason Boatwright, who isn't here this morning, Rick and Sue Lean, Allison and Kyle Sack, I don't think they're here this morning, Dave Post, Mark Rothy, Larry and Mary Ellen Shad, and Ann Yinney. Thank you so much for all your work. Heavenly God, we thank you for these people and for the work they have done this day. We pray that as the study has gone through and received, that it be the very best work that we have done and we can do, and that this is a great time for the people of our church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, Chuck, could you come and put the password into this thing? So we begin our mission study by talking about, we'll go to the next slide, Carla, by talking about the study is to show who we have been as the people of God, who we are in this moment of time. This is a snapshot of who we are in this moment of time and where God is calling us to be. Now, let's just be straight on what we did here. This is a mission study that will inform our pastor search. This will inform our pastor nominating committee. This is not the dreaded ministry information form. I'm just kidding. The ministry information form is the resume for our church that we'll post online and that pastors from all over the country will be able to see and study. This informs the ministry information form. This is not the ministry information form itself, but this will help us get there. Thank you, dude. Okay, next slide, Carla. The form that the history took, it's a very comprehensive study. I felt, and the Committee on Ministry of the Pueblo Presbytery agreed with me, that we had been through a kind of a rough time the last several years, and so we needed to take our time and do a very much a comprehensive study. So we have a short history of the church. We've studied the demographics of our neighborhood and our congregation. We have done statistical studies of our congregation. We have reviewed the policies and procedures of the church and of the session and of the deacons. Every policy or procedure we could find, we've reviewed, and as time goes on, we'll be making recommendations to the session to update these booklets and these books. We've done an overview of the finances. Our congregational survey, we had 172 surveys returned to us. Think of it this way. We're a 203-member church. We're worshiping about 205 members a week. We received back 172 surveys. So that one, that tells us that we're passionate, and two, that we care, and that we really do want to see us move forward. I had meetings with 16 different groups of Covenant Church, and then we had four of our community gatherings. We've reviewed and evaluated worship. We've done interviews. We've done interviews with community leaders, people in our neighborhood. How do you see Covenant Church? What can we do for you? And then we've had, this is something totally new I've never done before, we've had interviews with former members, people who once belonged to our church but have stepped away. Now, we don't want to give them too much of a voice because they really have left us, but we want to know who they are and what they've been thinking and what they think of us and what we could do better through their eyes as well. Okay, we'll go to the history of the congregation. This is a history that Larry Schad put together for us and wrote for us. Oh, before I get into that, let me just say the mission study report itself is 16 full pages of study, and it has then another 40-some pages of appendices. Yeah, you're gonna love me when you get it in the email. The 16 pages go through all those different categories we just talked about, and I'm going to run through them this morning as we go through it. And then the appendices are the full findings of the missions of the community gatherings, the full findings of the survey. I'm going to say it at the end, but I'm going to say it here first. When I'm going to finish it up tomorrow and the next day, I'm going to have Glenna Lathrop put her eyes on it and some other people put their eyes on it to make sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. And then I'm going to send it to you all. Take your time reading it. You don't have to read the whole thing if you don't choose to. But I do emphasize, read the comments from the surveys. Read the comments from the community gatherings. Every comment that I took notes on from the community gatherings are in the appendices. Every comment that we asked people to say or people just volunteered in the survey are there as well. Those are very informative. And I'm apologizing now because I'm going to say the word interesting about 40 million times because this is a fascinating process. And the results, while not surprising, are really, really interesting. Now we can go to the history of our congregation. That's Rampart School there and our church. As you know, we began at Rampart so many years ago. And you can read the history for yourself when it comes in the email toward the end of the week. But the history reflects, it's really interesting. The history reflects who we are as a people. Our spirit, our love for each other and our love for God, our looking towards outreach and mission, that we are a prayerful people. The history shows that we've struggled mightily with finances as we do now. We have always loved our youth and children. The history also shows that we're a very generous group, just as the rest of the study will show, and that we have been blessed, and we feel blessed to be a part of this church and to be a part of the people of God here in our church. So as I said, you can go ahead and read the history for yourselves when the time comes. Now, as we go to congregational statistics, the congregational statistics, we are Presbyterians are wonderful, wonderful statisticians, and we keep great records. And so right on the denomination's website, we had all of these categories, and Mark Rothy worked really hard to bring it all together for us. On membership, it shows that we've had a slight decline since 2016 of only two members. But before that, we had the big decline, as we don't have to tell you. Interestingly enough, in 2016, we worshipped 95% of our total membership. So if we were a 300-member church or a 100-member church, we were worshipping 90% of that, 90-some percent of that. When we were going through our ills, that statistic dropped to 82% of our membership. So our worship attendance was dropping. But in the last 3 or 4 months, we've seen that now at 203 members, we're worshiping right around 200. So again, we're up over 90%, which is crazy good for a church. Normally, we hope for about 60% of attendance of the membership. So that's crazy good. We are split just about evenly between men and women, which is unusual. Usually, there's a preponderance of women. The average contribution per giving unit, I hate that term, but average contribution for those who give is about $3,000 a person annually. Our age diversity, a number of our members are below 45 years of age, but that's decreased over the last decade. And our population of over 65 is increased by about 15%. And we'll come back, when we talk about other things, we'll come back to the age issue of our church. Our race diversity is nearly non-existent. We are just 97% Anglo. Education, we do a great job with our children's ministries and our youth programs, and I'm going to come back again. But, and this is huge. This is the neon sign flashing. We do a somewhat less better job, according to the statistics, with our young adult ministry. Our young adult education program beyond 12th grade up to age 25, we had 3 participants. We'll come back to that. Our leadership is 100% Anglo, but our moderator is Arab, so we do get some racial diversity. As we reviewed the next slide, Carla, as we reviewed our policies and procedures, the number in parentheses, the year in parentheses, is the year that the last time first the bylaws and then the policies and job descriptions were updated. So they should be updated every 3 to 5 years by a session. You see, we're a little bit beyond that. When we did our employee evaluations in December, we updated everyone's job description in session just past those job descriptions. So the job descriptions you see there have been updated then just as soon as last Monday. Our policies will be, Rebecca Dillon and myself and have gone through them and made a lot of the easy changes that can be made, you know, updating names of commissions and things like that. But we'll be taking them to each of the commissions and each of the commissions that are that have these policies under their jurisdiction. We'll take them up and we'll be making recommendations to the session over the next 6 months or so on all of these. They'll be brought to the appropriate commission and then session for discussion and updating and approval. Overview of our church finances. A financial sheet attached, a one-year summary financial sheet attached when we send out the mission study later in the week. So you'll have that. Just the gorilla sitting in the room is our mortgage. We still owe nearly $1.4 million. That's a monthly payment of $11,000. That we still owe on the building addition. We'll come back to that again. That comes up over and over again. Now let's go to the survey. The survey, really interesting. We are an older congregation, yes, but nearly 30% of our respondents were under 40 years old. And don't laugh, you 40 years old, you're children. So don't laugh. 40 in church language is very young. We have a great mix of older term members, people who have been here a while, and brand new folks. So we have a great mix of that. 60% of our folks have roles and responsibilities beyond Sunday worship, and that's a high percentage for a church. We have volunteers in nearly 30 ministries, and people are happy volunteering. A very, very slight percentage came back and said, we haven't been asked to help and we want to be, and we're not happy about that. So only a very slight percentage. 63% of our group belong to a study group or a social group. We would like to see our church place emphasis on worship, ministry and outreach, mission and outreach, youth and adult programs, and Christian ed. Again, this all comes together. It shows the same things other places show. We are very happy with our children and young adult ministry. However, the survey shows that we need to step up our young adult ministry, both to single young adults and to married young adults, married with young children. We need to step that up. One of the most telling responses in all of the survey was of the 172, Are you satisfied with our young adult program, young adult single, young adult married? And more than 70 answers on both of those came back and said, don't know. Don't know what we're doing. That's very telling that we need to step it up in that direction. So that's one of the strong conclusions we had from the whole mission study. Nearly 80% said one of the strengths is our learning communities, both children, all three, children, young adult, and adult. 75% feel that the church leadership has done a good job of plugging into your gifts and talents. Now, I hope you all remember that in February of 2016, a year and several months ago, we did an online chat survey. And I will be referencing the chat survey several times to show you how much our church has grown and changed, and that chat survey is way out of date, only 14, 15 months later. The chat survey said that the leadership did not seem to give a sense of Holy Spirit or of joy. This survey that we did came back and said 90% of the respondents feel that the leadership is filled with enthusiasm and the empowering presence of Jesus Christ. 86% report the same for a congregation that was reported in the chat survey by a large percentage is on its way to dying. 70% have a strong sense of belonging to our congregation. 70% are excited about the direction we're taking. But there is a minority of 18% that think we may need to be rethinking our future and that we may be going in the wrong direction. So we have to keep that in mind as we move forward. Compare this to the chat survey as well. There is a strong majority reported little or no or minor conflict within the congregation. This is going to come up again and again. Our church is seen as a theologically diverse place. We'll talk about that a lot more too. People here in this room, is that there are a variety of ways that we prefer to worship. The Bible is viewed as the Word of God by 99.9% of our folks. It is the Word of God. But how we interpret that Word, how we look to that Word, there are a variety of opinions, which again goes to our theological diversity. People's faith have grown or stayed the same over the last year, thanks to the congregation, thanks to personal devotions and other groups. 75% of our people were a praying group. 75% of our folks have a devotion or prayer life at least once a week. Seventy-six percent feel that we have God-exalting worship. Most want a mix of contemporary and traditional music. We have very few respondents on either end of the scale. I only want this kind of music. I only want this kind of music. 70% are happy with our music ministry, and 13% aren't sure. 81% are inspired by the sermon, and 70% by the music. Other points of inspiration is the kids' time, is the passing of peace, our fellowship time. The sacraments are all seen as great parts of our worship. There's an overall feeling that worship is lukewarm, and we'll come to this again later. In the survey, we had, do I feel God's presence? That was overwhelming mostly. Do I feel the awesomeness of God? The answer given most was sometimes never. Do I feel joyful in worship? Always, mostly. Do I feel that we are spontaneously worshiping God with everything? Sometimes, sometimes. And so we have a feeling of being happy with worship, but we're not feeling the overpowering of presence of God. A significant number even responded bored or frustrated sometimes. Overwhelmingly, we want a pastor with a relaxed style. 172 surveys came back. 2 reported they wanted a formal pastor. We want a pastor who has expertise in biblical and theological matters, who can be, this is really, really interesting. A strong majority of people want a pastor who's provoking and challenging. At least half of the respondents who put that answer also put, we want a pastor who is comforting and assuring. And so what that says is we want a pastor in the season that we need to be provoking and to challenge us intellectually and spiritually, but at the same time, we need a pastor who's here for us, who loves us, who keeps loving us. Overwhelming, we desire a pastor who inspires people to take action and work at goals that have been taken collaboratively. 147 people have described the church in the comments, and it's mostly relational. This is a family. We're caring. We're family-oriented. Often mentioned were our learning communities, our worship that includes several styles of music, and our open air of diversity and opinion. 74% added other comments about the 74 respondents added that other comments about our church, and very few, maybe two, negative, without being constructive. Now we take that with the chat comments. I didn't write these down. I'm just going to say a few. In the chat comments, we need to rediscover the joy of worship. Several times in the comments of this survey, we worship joyfully. Remember, the statistics show that we always feel joyful in worship. The chat survey, there's little intervention by the staff. In our survey, the much gratitude that the staff and the pastor are often asked, do you live here? So we see that change. We need more blessing events, according to the chat survey. We've had the quarterly community events. We have the Shalom Prayer Ministry. We've lost our outward focus and focus on our own ills, according to the chat survey. And that probably happens as we get sick. The example I use is my mother called me every Saturday for my whole life. And she would take 2 hours of my life at that moment and talk about everything under the sun. And it was all about family and friends and everybody. When my mom was very ill, those conversations became 10-minute updates on her illness. And then toward the end, when everything was going well again, it was 2 more hours with mom every Saturday. And so as we are ill, as we look into ourselves, we do look into ourselves. Now we're in a position once more to look out. That is the results of the survey. The small group meetings, I found this to be a passionate group of Christians. We love God, we love each other, and that love is it is amazingly shown by our deacons. We love our deacons, we love what they do for us. We identify ourselves as a people who see a need and jump right into the need. We help wherever we can. And through all our ills last year, we have come through strong and together, thanks to our staff, our parish associates, our session, our deacons, and the leadership of the church. The members of the church are very happy with our current staff. The ethos of the church, and this is kind of what has always defined Covenant. We can agree to disagree. We are very homogeneous in how we look, in our education. Many of us are former military. We look alike, but we don't think alike. Not at all. And we can agree to disagree. I can sit next to a person who's a Trumpite and I'm an anti-Trumpite. I can sit next to a Republican and I'm a Democrat or Republican. I don't know what I am. But we can sit next to each other and worship together and love the Lord together. That's part of who we are. Now, what came out in the former members is that they said, well, we lost some of that. Interestingly enough, the people who couldn't think diversely are now former members. And so I think we're regaining that strongly. We have regained that strongly, who we are as a people who can agree to disagree. We are overjoyed with our children's ministry and our youth ministry. Awana program is mentioned by every group. Our adult education communities, the challenge of them, the good, strong, meaty teaching of them was mentioned by every group. We love our intentional outreach. Grilled cheese. We are the grilled sandwich church, and that's cool. Trunk or treat, Easter egg are just some examples of our local outreach. The church building is being used daily. And people love driving by and seeing the church in use. We'll get to this in a minute as well. Some people who are part of the community have come to us and say, this church, this place is a hub in our Briargate community. It is a spiritual hub in our Briargate community. And we see the word of God flowing like living waters from this place. And we didn't ask people to come forward and say these things. They felt called to do that. We are seen as a family place where people, young families, aren't just put up with, but they are cherished and supported and welcome. We are a down-to-earth group, energetic, loving, generous. One of our strengths is the Shalom ministry, the prayer team. We don't really this is an editorial comment. I'm coming out of the mission survey. We don't support the Shalom team a whole lot on their prayer nights and going to the corner. And end of editorial. But we see that it came out through the mission study that the Shalom team has our spiritual backs, and we know it, and we appreciate it, and we depend on it. One of the great strengths is the Shalom team. Interesting discussion on the size of our congregation. At the height of our membership back in the early 2000s, we were doing about 430, 450 communions a week. We dipped to about 160 communions a week the year before, in 2016. We dipped to about 160 communions a week. Now we're at 200 members. Some people see that as an issue. We're not big enough. One comment, quote, we need to go to New Life to see what they're doing right, end of quote. That is a feeling that we're at a precocious place at 200 members. Others say, you know, I really like being 200 members. I know everybody. I can call people by name when we do communion. Sid looks me in the eyes and calls me Steve. We like that. So there's a feeling that we may be in a precocious place at 200 members. Other people think, well, we're at the perfect size. Let me say this. We're also either the first or second largest Presbyterian church in Pueblo Presbytery. So the average Presbyterian church is 100 members-ish at best. Some of the negatives from the group meeting, some of the things we can do better, they're consistent with the results of the survey. We need to do a better job with our 18 to 30-year-olds, singles, mothers, and fathers of young children. One of the reasons we're aging is that we don't seem to be retaining our young people after high school. And this goes back to that we don't have a great ministry there. At the same time, don't feel like we failed too much, because a lot of us, as soon as mom and dad said we didn't have to go to church, didn't go to church for a long time. The only real weakness that we've identified, and this goes to the 30 and 30, the only real weakness that we've identified in our youth and children's program are the lack of volunteers. Our volunteers are really work hard, and they're overworked. And so we need new and different volunteers. We need to do a better job as a congregation overall communications. We feel that we're understaffed and overworking our staff. As I said, we're homogeneous. We're overwhelmingly Anglo. We don't have many people of color, but we do think differently. More issues that need attended. We went through a tough year. 2016 and into 2017 were a tough year. Our 20-some-year clerk of session retired from that post. Our 20-some-year pastor retired, and there was swirlings all around that, you know. And we lost many people. We lost loved ones through death. And so we are still grieving. We are in a grieving process as a church. We can't just blow it off and say, we'll suck it up and move on. We need to grieve. We need to grieve well over several issues. Relationships are our biggest strength as a church and our biggest weakness. We are a tight group of Christians. We love each other. We do a great job of sticking together. But it can be difficult to break into this group. A couple of the gatherings said we can be cliquish. And we need to do a better job of incorporating people into the life of the church. And that we and this came out in several different places. We're really good at welcoming new people. You cannot get into the sanctuary without having 3 to 4 people welcoming you. But then we don't do a great job of follow-up. That we need to do, we need to have something in place that is more systematic for following up new members. And I don't think we're so cliquish as we're just really comfortable with each other. And it's hard as a person coming into a group to see that comfort and to plug into it without a systematic way of doing so. Worship is seen both as a strength and weakness. It's about 50-50. It's a strength and it's a weakness. That's normal in any congregation in the 21st century. We seem to be satisfied, but we need more passion in our worship service. We are overwhelmingly a people who love participating in the Lord's Supper. This came out time and time again, time and time again. We love having the Lord's Supper every week. And every time somebody mentioned having the Lord's Supper every week, they thank the deacons for working so hard and knowing that it puts more work on them. Amen. Thank you. Now, I got so sick after 20 times, I got so sick of this joke, I thought it was clever the first time. As I sat with the groups, I said, now, if you were king or queen of the world, what would be your vision for church? It was funny the first 18 times, not even. The answers were interesting and varied. On the more practical issues, we'd like to see our next installed pastor have a handle on things, be integrated into the life of the church. And know what ministries, be involved in the life of the church. One who makes the effort to know everyone, and for everyone of all ages and involved circumstance. We'd also like to see more local outreach. We'd like to see us connect once more overseas in a stronger way. We'd like to work with other congregations. That's a vision. Another vision is better communications, connecting our church experience with our daily lives is another vision for our church, and intervening in practical ways in our Briargate community. Two less practical but intriguing ones was that vision that we keep coming back to of this church being the place where the Word leaves us as living water to nourish our whole community. Interesting. And another interesting but we don't know how to make this dream work, is to be open to people who don't look like us, who are different than us. LGBT community is one example. People of color is another example. And we are open, we are loving, we are caring, we are welcoming. Now, how do we show that to people who aren't like us? That's one of the visions for our church. And the evaluation of worship is important to us as a church family. Worship, we feel that we do worship well and that we do give glory to God. It's good, though, but it's not the very best we can offer. Last year, at least 4 or 5 responses on the chat survey said the Holy Spirit has left us. And this overwhelmingly, every place that we looked in this mission study, the Holy Spirit is present. The wind of the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here. And we need to dedicate ourselves to fanning the flames of the Spirit, giving our whole selves to worship. Worship, this was one of the most shocking. Like I said, I said earlier, I didn't think I was going to shock too much. This one shocked me. People said that we do a great job of being in our groups. You know, the young people, the children's, our small groups. But there is no one place that we come together to be Covenant Presbyterian Church together. And so I took from that worship is seen by some people as not that one place where the whole body comes together and is strengthened by word and sacrament. Worship tends, and so I started, so part of the study, we see that worship tends to be passive. This is the stage. You are the congregation. This is the worship room. So one of the real emphases that I'm going to have with my interim ministry is to bring passion. I don't know how much more I could do, but we're going to bring passion to worship. And one of the ways we're going to do that is we're going to change vocabulary. You are sitting in the sanctuary. This is God's place. You are the congregation, the church family. You are not a passive audience. This is the worship platform that I'm standing on. And so we are going to change vocabulary. We're going to work at recognizing that we are the people of God. We're going to work at getting here on time. I think that's one of the ways that we show that we are sometimes lukewarm about ministry, is that we come straggling in when we come straggling in. Do we need to give this hour over to God in glory? And that's the hardest thing I'm going to say today. The worship, we need an infusion of passion by all of us. Meeting with the community leaders. The principal over at Rampart talks about how we as a church are an asset. Grilled cheese, grilled cheese, grilled cheese. They use the building during testing. They've been using the building to do large groups. They take out all the chairs in here, do a teaching, say, on suicide prevention, then bring all the chairs back in. And so they love having us here as part of the community. The manager at the Commons at Briargate sees us as a hub of the neighborhood. That is, we're a resource for guidance and assistance that we're inviting to the residents, not just simply because of our location. The police and fire and first respondents have been invited to come to grill cheese. We're inviting them to first respondents and high school students to have a place of meeting. What do they call the officer in the school? Resource officer. The resource officer has come to grill cheese and mixed with the students as well. Interviews with former members. Now, again, I want you to take some of these with a grain of salt. We made contact with 26 individuals, 12 different couples. Why people first came to our church, they heard about it, they heard we were friendly, they lived in the neighborhood. They know that the worship was heartfelt and that we had a great mission outreach. One person even talked about the flags. They came in the Sunday that we did the flag, the first Sunday we had the flags up. And they said, we knew this was a mission outreach place. Why people first started feeling the pull to leave our church, they didn't feel they were incorporated in the life of the church. Again, this whole idea that we need to work at better incorporating people into our life after the initial welcome. Some people said we lost our biblical focus. Others, it was the PCUSA's response to the gay ordination and the same gender marriage issues. There was no one, though, at the same time, having said that, there was no one reason for leaving the church by these folks. Some said they weren't happy with the music. Some said they just weren't traditional enough. Others said we're not happy with the music, we're just not contemporary enough. There were theological disagreements over the PCUSA and the pastoral leadership. Others said the ongoing financial issues were burdensome and it was wearing. Others have left Colorado Springs, but one of the people who left Colorado Springs said, Covenant will always be a very special place for us. Thank you for the role you have played in our lives. The most interesting finding of the former members was that about half of them have not found a new church home. After leaving us, they can't find the same place of family, commitment, worship, in ministry that they had here at Covenant Church. I thought that was very interesting and telling. We have 55 ministries here in our church, including 3 short-term mission trips, the deacons' ministry, our meals, funeral receptions, pastoral care, card ministry, hospitalization, baby basket, help ministry, and special events, all by 12 people. Why did you all agree to become deacons? Our commissions do wonderful work. We have affiliations with the General Assembly, the Synod, and the Presbytery of Pueblo. We have Christian groups continually using this building Tuesday and Thursday night and Saturday mornings, three different Christian groups use our building. We have missionary connections to 47 different countries. I don't know what that means. We need to do more investigating whether these are former connections or current. We need to do more investigation on that. But think about 200 people have been connected up somehow through the years with 47 countries. Conclusion. We are doing more with less. One of our great assets of our church is our staff. And I wholeheartedly endorse every member of our staff. But we have half the staff we did a dozen years ago. And we have fewer volunteers just through attrition. And so the staff and the session and the deacons and the leadership, we're doing just as much. We're still worshiping every week. We're still doing church school. We're still doing Awana. We're still doing youth group. But we're doing it with a lot less resources, about 30% less budgeted money as well. So there's a fear that we're going to burn out our staff and volunteers. And again, I go back to the 30 and 30. We need help. And we need to recruit more and train better and depend on our more indifferent volunteers. And training is a big thing. And we're going to be doing a lot more of that with our session and with our deacons. Our yearly budget deficit is wearing. It is very wearing for the church leadership to be $30,000, $60,000, $80,000 behind our budgeted money come the end of summer. And then, except for that one disastrous year, we get close. In November, December, it all comes in and we get close. Thanks be to God that, you know, we even had a surplus this year. But it's wearing for the leadership every year to be going through. Lose, you know, oh my gosh, it's dispiriting, it's hard. The biggest negative of our church, without any doubt, is the debt. It is onerous. One person said it is a millstone around our neck, and I couldn't agree more. When I wrote the 600-pound gorilla in the corner of the room, somebody said it's sitting right there in the middle. We are working as a session to try to figure out ways to deal with this. We even asked for debt relief from our lender, and that wasn't accepted, but it's open conversations, it's other conversations. So we are working on that. The makeup of our congregation, this is really cool. We are getting older. We are not as young as we used to be. None of us are. But we are not aging. This doesn't smell like an old church. You know, you walk into some places and you can just smell age. This is not an older church. We don't think old, and that's part of that whole we agree to disagree. We don't think old. We are overjoyed with our children's and youth ministry, Gabriel and Sarah and the programs they lead. We are overjoyed with Rebecca in the office. Our outreach through Awana, community events, Easter egg hunts, they are cherished. We are incredibly homogeneous as a population, but we are heterogeneous. In our political leanings and our theological beliefs, we can agree to disagree. We do have a tendency to do our own thing. We do have a tendency to each group of us do our own thing and then report later. We just need to do a better job of reporting as we're doing, as reporting as we're planning. We can be disjointed sometimes in doing that. So we just need to do a better job of communicating. And we can do that through the office, through the pastor, through the different commissions as they are doing their thing as well. Conclusion, we are in the upswing. I told you about some of the responses from the chat survey. We are building up confidence and camaraderie and joy, especially the joy part. We are overwhelmingly relaxed, a joyful group. Our congregation is hungry for Bible-based teaching and sermons. So some of the conclusions about our next installed pastor. We want a pastor who's involved in the life of the church and with as great a variety of people as possible. We are a congregation that's longing for pastoral care from our senior pastor. Our deacons do a great job of visiting and taking care of people. At the same time, we'd like to see that in our next installed pastor. We love having communion every week. We appreciate the presence of the baptismal font, reminding us that word and sacrament are tied together. We are caring, we are loving, we are incredibly generous with our time and money and talents and prayers and emotions. We depend on the Shalom team. They got our backs. Our mission and outreach again is emerging after focusing more inward. Our challenges, follow up on our initial welcome to integrate people into the congregation. We can love each other a little bit too closely without inviting others in. We need to look at the size of the congregation. I have no idea what that look will bring. We do need absolutely to support our young adults. Other conclusions, we're still grieving. We're still grieving a lot of things, and so we need to work through the grieving. We need to better communicate, and we need to nurture passion. A last word. During the survey, people really, they said time and time again, they appreciated being heard. As I said before, please take time to study the comment sections of both the small group and the survey. Traits that we prefer that came out of our next installed pastor, and this really will inform our ministry information form. We like a sense of humor. We see an emphasis on the ministry of presence, just being around. A visible pastor is important. At this point, in the original version of this, I put down, we want a pastor who's a jack of all trades. And the mission study team said, no, we don't. No, that's not what the survey showed at all. We have wonderful Sarah and Gabriel and Rebecca and our deacons and our commissions. That's all doing great. We need a pastor, though, who's plugged into all of that. Who knows what's going on and is integrated into all of that. That's what we're looking for. Person who's willing to engage in conversation with a variety of people, taking time with people, and it's overwhelmed. You want a relaxed style. Prayerful sense, one who knows and emphasizes the Bible, energy and enthusiasm. Lead others while acting as a sounding board. The whole thing just came across. We don't want a boss. We want a pastor who's gentle and affirming what you're doing, what you bring, and is led and guided by the Holy Spirit. As I said many times, when I first came here and was interviewing, people in Presbytery were saying to me, they just think they're special. They're not. And I've learned that not to use the word special because that has some other connotations. But we are wonderfully unique. And that's what I've learned. This is a wonderfully unique congregation. This is a terrific place. And it is the hope, at least this is one more editorial comment, that you select pastoral leadership from the characteristics we see here in the mission study and following your instincts of who you want as your next pastor. I keep going back to the one church that I was helping out with. They had a 20-some year pastor. He was a people person. He was gregarious, outgoing, terrific preacher. And he did all that stuff. But then when they called the next pastor, and that's who they wanted in the next pastor. But when they called them, they thought, well, we need some prestige. So they hired an author and a scholar. And that's what they got. And it didn't work. And so they went back to the characteristics that they had identified. And I'm going just to end the mission study with a quotation from one of the surveys. And this really does sum up the whole mission study. Covenant is a family of loving, caring people. We are very welcoming to all and quite diverse in makeup. We do our best to love God and to love people. So there it is.